says that no matter what happens, if I have to do all over again, I walk every moment, every mountain, every mile all over again.
Yeah.
I want that to be my testimony. It doesn't matter what we go through, what we've gone through. God has brought us from somewhere to somewhere. And thankfully, we're still here. We're living. We're living proof that God is merciful. He's gracious. This song says, every moment, every mountain, and every mile, I'd do it all over again. There are days my heart feels heavy, and I struggle now and then. But victory with Jesus is always sweet. If I could go to the places I've already been, I'd do it all over again. I would face
trusting what I could not see. But each time He worked in all things for my good, so I would walk by His side through every triumph and trial, every moment, every mountain, every mile.
Face every moment that He's brought me through. By each mountain I've already climbed. Every step I have traveled, He's been faithful and true.
So I've walked Him
again.
Once again, it seems so.
His hand of mercy is Brother Brad Whitbrock, come preach this morning. My mother-in-law just said, don't lay an egg. That's a surefire way of not doing it. Amen. I have somebody else.
I'll be in the book of Genesis. Let's go to chapter number 4 this morning. I'm not sure if we're going to take off there or not. How about you?
Yeah.
Never do mind it, though.
No.
Never do mind it. Bless my heart, singing Jack and Gary up there singing together, the boys.
Yeah. Amen.
Appreciate the Lutrick family. They've always been a blessing. I carried the Lord around with them for years, it seems like. And appreciate their ministry there. Genesis chapter 4. And let's read here, starting in verse number 1. Genesis 4 and verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bears brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain, he was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, I like that phrase, because, man, that's where you're really going to find things out, aren't you, in the process of time. But in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? And I love the Lord. This is our God, right? Verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. In other words, God's saying, it's real easy, Cain, just be right.
Yeah.
Don't matter who you are to here this morning, don't matter where you come from, just be right. And if you're wrong, you can get right this morning.
Amen.
Just be right.
Yeah.
He didn't hold nothing against nobody.
Amen.
Verse number 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. Here's what I want to think about this morning. I love the book of Genesis. Some men have said that the first 11 chapters of Genesis, that word means beginnings, they say, and I have found this to be true, I haven't seen anything to go otherwise, they say that the first 11 chapters of Genesis is the seed plot for the rest of the Scriptures. And what you'll find in the first 11 verses is developed as the Bible is unfolded. And I want to look here this morning on this thought. I want to look at the first false religion.
Yeah.
The first false religion. Now, I notice from, I won't go read chapter 3, but we have a fallen race in chapter 3. And it produces immediately fallen religion in chapter number 4. You get that? And I choose my words wisely here because I say fallen religion or false religion. And, you know, I'm guilty of this, but we often kick religion down the road, and rightfully so, because there's going to be multitudes in hell because they chose false religion or fallen religion. But the Bible does say in James 1:27, there is a pure religion and undefiled before God. And God gives us a precept here in my mind to ponder right here in the book of Genesis and the book of beginnings to help us understand some differences between what is the pure religion and what is not. And get this, from the very beginning, God wants us to never forget this precept that all false religion is produced by fallen man. I mean, it's right here, plain as the nose on your face. And in my mind, we have its roots revealed to us right here in our text. Now in verse 1 and 2, two boys are born, Cain in verse 1, Abel in verse 2. These are the first births of the Bible, their parents not being born but created. And curiously enough, here in Genesis chapter 4, if I was writing it, I'd probably talk about Abel more than I did Cain. But if you look at the text, you ever notice the focus is on Cain? Cain is mentioned some 13 times, and 7 times Abel is mentioned, and about every time he's identified as Cain's brother. So the Spirit of God, for some reason, wants Cain to catch our eye here this morning. Now, real quickly, this morning, obviously, Adam taught these boys to work. They're both workers. We can preach on that. We will go on quickly, though. And they became young men that began to prefer different professions, if you will. Cain was the son of the soil, tiller of the ground, the Bible says. And Abel sought to be a shepherd. He was a keeper of the sheep. But in my mind, not only did Adam teach them to work, but he taught them to worship. Must have taught them to worship. No doubt these boys knew there was a God. They knew God hated sin, that God wanted to be served and set apart in their lives. So it says in verse 3, in the process of time, it came to pass that each son began to serve God. Now I want you to get this morning. I want you to understand, Cain is no atheist. And you may be here this morning and you say, well, here's what I believe. Well, we're going to line it up to the scriptures this morning. Cain is not any people. Well, lost people, they're all atheists. No, that's not true. Most lost people are religious. And they're the hardest ones to get to see what they're sitting in. But Cain's not no, he's no atheist. Cain is a conscientious, religious, exercised man. And here's what I think. Maybe even more so than Abel, because Cain's approach to God is mentioned first in verse number 3. Cain came first. Verse number 3, it says, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And then in verse 4, Abel knew. Now, I'll get to this in a minute. I think Abel knew by revelation to bring the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. And we find at the end of verse 4 that the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but in verse 5, unto Cain and his offering, the Bible says God had not respect, or no respect. And that word respect this morning literally means this, to look upon. So we find here that the Lord wouldn't even look upon Cain's offering. It's important to note that there's a distinction made here, not only about each man's offering, but also about each man. Because as the offering is, so is the man. Cain wasn't rejected simply because of his offering, but for his offense. His offering is a picture of his offense. Yes. Now, hold your finger there. Let me explain. Can I run you in the Bible a few places? Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. Keep your finger in Genesis. We'll be right back there. But go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. And I don't know how you see things, but this is kind of how my mind works. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. Their offerings are a picture of where they're at. I know some men believe that their offerings saved them, but if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4, look what it says here. The faith chapter, right? By how? By faith Abel, watch, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than who? By which he obtained witness, now watch this, that he was righteous. You see that right there? If I'm reading that right, Abel's offering was a witness that he already obtained righteousness.
Yes.
In other words, his offering didn't save him. It was a witness that he was saved.
Yep.
That's what he's showing forth. You with me? The offering revealed that he was already a righteous man in God's eyes. And as it says here in the first two words, Abel did this how? By faith. Now, Romans 10:17, and you all know this, but just humor me. But Romans 10:17, we quote it all the time. You know it. You can probably quote it. But Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith, that's what we're talking about. Let me ask you this morning, do you have faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm asking you this morning, do you have faith? Trust in God. Look at Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in my mind, here's what I think. It's obvious to me that Cain and Abel were not left to their own ideas in deciding how God was to be approached or to be worshipped. God does not leave us in the dark. Amen. Say amen. Listen, He came to where I was and brought the Bible to me and brought somebody to preach it to me and gave me a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. Amen. He didn't leave me in the dark. God does not leave anybody in the dark. Nobody.
Amen.
That's why everybody's mouth's going to be stopped one day.
That's right.
You're not going to charge God foolishly. Judas isn't going to say, well, God, I never knew.
Right.
Or I never heard.
Right.
You're not going to do that. So, and it's obvious to me that Cain and Abel were not left to their own ideas. They didn't come up with their own way to approach God or worship God. In my mind, they had been told by God, or Abel couldn't have heard it. And done it by faith. You with me?
Yeah.
I've always said this, and I won't get on it, but faith is a human response to a divine revelation.
Yep.
God will come and say something to you, and you respond to it. That's how it works. And that's how you know your faith is alive. But I look at this, that not only had they been told by God, but in my mind, I mean, I can't help but go there. I'm a parent. I'm thinking Adam and Eve probably told them the truth too. Wouldn't you tell your children that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins? I would have told mine. I mean, these two boys had doubtless been told after their birth of the fig leaves, can I say the fruit leaves, sewed together by their parents to make themselves aprons. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. And how those fig leaves could only kind of cover them up, but it wasn't going to cure them from their fallen state.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve had already tried something akin to what Cain was trying. Fig leaves, fruit leaves of the ground.
Right.
And surely they had told their sons that a sacrifice was made, that blood had been shed for their souls.
Right.
Surely.
Yes.
The fig leaves they had made themselves had to be replaced with coats of skins that the Lord had made for them, for their clothing, Genesis 3:21 in the previous chapter. And in my mind, Abel believed God's word. Abel believed the word of his mom and dad, because there was no Bible to hand to him at that time. You understand that? It was passed down. Brother Farley was telling us stories last night about Brother Jack, and he's talking about the Townsends, and then Brother Townsend comes in here this morning, and it's just wild, right? But them story, that's how they passed down God, was by stories that were later written down by Moses. So no doubt they had heard from their mom and dad, even heard from God, that how things were supposed to go. And what happened is that God, that Abel's offering was according to the oracles of God, if you will. He had respect unto the revelation that he'd gotten from God, or maybe his parents, or both. And therefore God had respect unto Abel in his offering. But Cain's offense was that he rejected God's revelation, and he decided, I'm going to try this my own way. I'm going to go my own route on this whole religion, salvation, eternity thing. His own way, not God's way. So as we look at Cain, we find how the first false religion was constructed. And I think if I look at this, in my mind, its major features are still found in false religions of our day. I've got about 5 real quick points I want to give to you this morning. If you'll just hang with me for a little bit here. Now, number one, I want to say, first of all, concerning the first false religion, Cain substituted reason for revelation.
Yeah.
Cain substituted reason for revelation. I want to say it again. Cain's offense was that he rejected God's revelation and decided to try his own route based on his own reasonings. Listen, I can't say enough this morning about this beautiful book called the Bible.
Amen.
I don't know where I'd be this morning without the Bible. It's the Lord's love letter written specifically to us and for us that we might know God. Know the way of God. And in the process, know ourselves. It's God's revelation of Himself. And it should be the final authority on all matters of faith and practice when it comes to religion. Amen. Brother Chris was talking in Sunday school about authority. This is the authority on religion.
Amen.
Not your ideas, not my ideas,
right.
Not any man, fallen man's ideas.
Right.
The final authority.
Right.
This is what you trust, not yourself.
Amen.
You don't reason in your own mind and figure out how this thing's supposed to work.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, listen, he substituted reason for revelation. Yet most people reject the revelation of God and try to serve God the way that they think is best, like Cain. Our way is not the best. It's the worst.
Right.
Adam and Eve proved that. You cannot serve God without the Scriptures. You cannot know God without the Scriptures. Amen. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. James 1:18, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, talking of the Scriptures. In both verses, the reference is to the little Word of God. And then you get verses like John 1:1 that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you say, man, is it talking about the Word or the Word? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how to separate the two.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes I can't even tell which one it's talking about.
Right.
But I'm trying to say that, listen, it was revealed to Cain how to worship. But instead of going with the Word of God, Cain went with his own way. Amen.
Yeah.
In the Bible, the way of Cain is referred to as the religion of the ungodly.
Right.
I'm not going to turn to Jude, but you should go to Jude chapter 11, or Jude verse 11 through 16, and you see the crowd that's mentioned there. Cain, Balaam, Korah.
Right.
Every one of those men mentioned were willing to worship God. All of them. But on their own terms and not according to the Word of the Lord.
Right.
That's what they did.
Right.
Listen, it was revelation that taught me things like there's one mediator between man and God. It's the man Christ Jesus. And I grew up going to some box and telling some guy, amen, with his collar on backwards and a dress, that was a sinner just like me.
Yeah.
And he would tell me what to do and how to do it, and that would save me, you liar. Amen. But then I read in the Bible, amen, the first time I read through there, I said, hey man, there's one mediator between man and God. It's the man Christ Jesus. And I don't need to go to no man. I don't need to go to no priest. I can just go to God Himself, because Jesus, amen, took His blood up there and things been torn, and I can go into the Holy of Holies and talk to God myself. And if I want to get saved this morning, if you want to get saved this morning, all you got to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shall be saved. Amen. It was by revelation that I learned that Jesus is the door. And if any man enter in by Him, he shall be saved. I'm not real smart, brother, but I know how to go through a door. You just open the darn thing up and go through it. Amen. It's through revelation that I learned things that I never knew before. I never had nobody tell me I had to be born again. Them Catholics forgot that part. Amen. I'm telling you, there's nothing like, I'm not going to substitute reason for revelation. I listened to that junk for years and I never got saved by it. I'm talking about revelation. Listen, revelation taught me neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God.
Amen.
I didn't get that by reason. I got it by revelation. And on we could go this morning. For by grace are you saved.
Yeah.
Through faith. And not of yourselves. It's not of you, sir.
Yeah.
It's not of you, ma'am. It's not of ourselves.
Right.
It's a gift of God, not of works. And He says, lest any man should boast. That's why God set it up that way. Yeah. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if everybody's walking down there going,
yeah, I got saved because I read my Bible 750 times.
That'd be hell to me.
Yeah,
that's why it's a little hell on earth sometimes with some of the brethren.
Right.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, praise you. That's what we're after, right?
Right. Yeah.
Don't substitute your own reasoning or the reasonings of some Dr. Doolittle over Revelation.
Amen. Sure.
Revelation. Read your Bible. Let God speak to you. He will show you the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Let me say this. I've got to move quickly. Cain not only substituted reason for revelation, but secondly, Cain substituted beauty for blood.
Yeah.
He substituted beauty for blood. No doubt Cain's altar was more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
With its beautiful fruits and flowers and fragrant odors. More beautiful than Abel's bloody altar with its slain lamb and the burnt smell of fat and flesh. Brother, my wife and I, we'll go to her dad's. We still go out there every year, coming up pretty soon here in Oregon, and we go and we brand. We gather all the cattle in on horses. We do ride horses up in Oregon too.
Yeah.
People tell me you moved to Texas. I see you got a pair of cowboy boots. I didn't wait before I got here.
Yeah.
I just fit in good. That's why, because they're kind of alike. Amen. We'd go get them horses and we'd gather cattle and we'd put them in a round pen and we'd do it the old-fashioned way. We'd get in, we got people on horses and we'd head and heel and we'd catch them and stretch them out there and then we'd run out there and we'd flip them on the ground and we'd about four or five guys laying on those things and all of a sudden here comes somebody out there with the brander and we just put it right on that cow and you can smell that burnt flesh. And man, it stinks, man. My first time my kids got there, like, oh, that smells, you know. I kind of like it myself. And then we'll reach over to those male cattle, amen, without getting to amen, and we will take some things off them with a knife, and blood goes flying everywhere, amen, and they're and your flesh is burning, and blood is going everywhere. It's a mess!
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what real life looks like.
That's what it looks like. Yeah, right. Yep.
And that's what a real offering looks like.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say He substituted beauty for blood.
Yeah.
And God wants you to know what the real redemption looks like. He wants you to know what it costs the Lamb of God. Cain's altar was a forerunner for a religion that gets rid of sacrifice for something that's more pleasing to the senses. In the Bible, it tells us in 1 John that it's the blood of Jesus, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. God said way back in Exodus, when He sent death into Egypt, He said, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Amen. 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I'm trying to say, according to the Bible, there would be no new birth without the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now get this. Cain brought an offering, but it wasn't a sacrifice.
Yep.
You get that?
Yep.
Cain brought an offering, but it wasn't a sacrifice. And it may have been beautiful, but it didn't have no blood. You see, why did Cain do that? Because Cain did not see himself as a sinner that needed to place the sacrifice of another between him and the consequences of his sin. All those blood songs ask questions. What can wash away my sin? Well, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Well, matter of fact, I have.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
It's been glory.
Yeah.
They ask questions. I'm trying to ask you. Let me ask you this morning. Think about, I don't care who's next to you, who's behind you. I want to talk to you this morning. Is what you have based on the blood?
That's good, Brother Brad.
Mm. Well, I just don't think... Well, you ain't listening.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And that stinking thinking, it'll take you out to hell if you don't let go of it.
Right.
If you don't repent of it.
Right.
Change your mind.
Right.
Is what you have based on the blood.
Mm.
Listen, I'm talking about the first false religion. I mean, we aren't even out of the gate yet.
Right.
In Genesis, and God says, let me just show you this thing from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Let me lay it out plain. Number three, not only did Cain substitute beauty for blood, but thirdly, Cain substituted trying for trusting. Cain substituted trying for trusting. This is probably the greatest divider of true and false religion. Cain's religion was based on the false principle that man can earn his salvation by his works. That man can acquire and accumulate merit before God. Cain's offering required a lot more work than Abel's, didn't it? I mean, think about the two this morning. From man's side, it required a lot more work, but not from God's side. Cain had to go break up that ground without any kind of machine. Amen. I don't know what he had back in there, probably a stick. And all the time he's breaking up this ground without any kind of machine. He's got to plant some seed, and he's possibly, amen, got to water it because this we're past, amen, this fallen thing. I don't know what all happened. Maybe you can figure out. Maybe it was after the flood, amen. But I don't know. He's got to possibly water this thing and fertilize. I don't know if the mist is still going up or not. I'll let you smart alecks figure that all out. We're falling now, so maybe he's got to weed the thing by now. And then he's got to harvest this thing. It takes time for all this to happen. He's got to harvest his offering. And he's got to spend all these months laboring over this thing in the heat of the day. And all the while he's thinking of how wonderful it's going to be someday to show God all this work. But can I tell you this morning, God ain't interested in all your work. He's interested in the work that His Son did on that old-fashioned cross years ago. That's the only thing He's worried about. Amen. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world was slain on that cross. Amen. He's interested in the work that He has done for mankind, not in the work that mankind has tried to do for Him all over these years. You know, one of the things that separates our God from any other God, if you think about it this morning, is that our God created man so He could work for them, not so man could work for Him. David wanted to build a house for the Lord, and God told Nathan to return and tell David, "Hey, David, shall you build a house for me? I'm going to build a house for you." And pertaining to salvation, when has God ever asked us to provide salvation for ourselves? Anywhere in the revelation of God. Show me one place in the Bible where it ever says that. When has God ever said to do anything except, listen, He's going to send His Son, and Son is going to do the work of salvation for you, not you do the work to save yourselves. And all Abel had to do was walk over to that flock by revelation and pick out a pure lamb and shed its bloody blood by sacrificing it on the altar. All the time in his heart, he's saying, as he's killing that lamb, saying, "This is what I'm trusting in this morning. This is what I'm trusting in this morning. It's the death of this lamb and the blood to cleanse me from all sin." That's the pure religion and undefiled before God.
Yeah, glory.
Substituting trying for trusting. People ask, well, then why does the Bible tell us to do? Well, you don't need to worry about that until you figure out done.
Yeah.
And there's a lot we could say here, amen, but that's the matter. There's a difference between the matter of salvation and sanctification. And all false religions have the same message. The message is always the same. There is something you have to do to be saved. You got to be baptized. No, you don't. You don't get baptized to get saved. You get baptized because you are saved. You got to join the church. No, you don't have to do that either. You don't do that to be saved. You do it because you are saved. And on it goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Trying instead of trusting.
Right. Yeah.
All false religions have the same message. To them, like Cain, it's a matter of trying and not trusting in God. But we don't have a due religion, sir. We don't have a due religion, ma'am. We have a done religion.
Yep.
And salvation is not something that you and I do. It's amen. It's something that God has done for us. And you simply need to trust in it. Put your faith and trust in the work that Christ did on the cross. Yep. Pictured in the Old Testament by the slaying of that lamb. So death can pass over you. Amen. When the time comes. I notice in our text, fourthly, Cain, number four, Cain wanted religion without reproof. Cain wanted religion without reproof. Look at verse number six. God says to him, and the Lord said, "Hey, Cain, why are you wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen?" God's kind of rebuking him here. He's dealing with him like he does with all of us. And he says in verse 7, "If thou doest well, thou'll be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lie at the door." Right? And Cain, verse number 8, just nothing's ever said what happened about that conversation between him and God. Just verse number 8 comes along, Cain goes out and kills Abel. God simply tells Cain, "Hey Cain, your way's wrong. A little reproof. But if you want to come the right way, like Abel did, you're more than welcome." But Cain, like a lot of lost religious people, was infuriated at being reproved.
Yeah.
And I'm not a crowd watcher when I preach because I usually mess up. If I watch the crowd, I'll think something's going on with Nate. So I just try to get in the text and just get all the way in there, and I'm getting another glorious world besides this one we're in. But I mean, it's funny sometimes when you look up, people are infuriated when they're reproved. God's way of salvation makes God everything and man nothing. And religious people hate that.
Yes.
It makes them very wroth.
Yes.
The book of Proverbs starts out by saying, "Turn ye at my reproof." Then all through the book, that theme returns again and again. He that reproveth or refuseth reproof erreth. He that hateth reproof is brutish. Fools despise reproof. He that hateth reproof shall die. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. And he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. And he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. I'm not going to go to 1 John 3:12 because we're running out of time as it is. But if you go over there, it tells you why Cain slew his brother Abel. Because Abel was doing something that was righteous. And Cain was reproved by what he was doing, so he killed his brother. Cain slew Abel because of Abel's worship. It was a reproof to Cain's way of works. And Cain was mad at Abel because Abel followed the mandate of God and to put the light on what he was doing and show that he was wrong. And so he killed his brother. He wanted religion without reproof. Brother, I'll tell you, I have learned to love reproof.
Yes.
I would have never got saved if somebody wouldn't have reproved me. And told me, you've got to quit trusting in yourself and trusting in your denomination and trusting in your works. You better trust Jesus Christ or you're going to blow hell wide open. And I got reproved and I'm thinking, man, well, what's going on here? Amen. But it opened up a door. And if you will take reproof, it opens you up to reception from revelation. And it'll change your life. But if you want to cross your arms and get mad at the Word of God and God and the way He wants to do things, amen, you'll never get saved. You cannot have, amen, pure religion without reproof. Modern religion trying to get away from it. I mean, nothing. They won't say nothing negative anymore because somebody might leave. Take all the power out of it.
That's true.
So if you're going to a church that never reproves, I think I'd leave. I think I'd get out. I'd run. Now, I don't want to be in a church that reproves all the time. I mean, I don't mind taking, you know, I like getting around with the guys and, you know, putting the gloves on. I like a good, that's a good shot, brother. But I really don't want you to get me down on the ground and punch me and kick me and amen. And when I'm out, when I wake back up and start on me again, you know, I don't need that, amen. At least pick me up before you knock me down again. You know, a little exhortation. You all right? You looking all right? This is going to be okay looking at me. You know, I don't mind that. Cain wanted religion without reproof.
Yeah, brother.
Let me give you this one. We'll get out of here. Cain wanted a relationship without repentance.
Yeah.
Number 5, Cain wanted a relationship without repentance. Now look at verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And Cain, now you know really where he's at because he's lying. And we all know who the father of that is. I know not. Now he's going to be a smart aleck to God. I hate smart alecks. You know, I tell my boys all the time, I love my boys, and I'll let them be boys and play, but I tell my boys all the time, I won't put up with a punk. I will not put up with a punk. I hate a punk.
Yeah.
I hate a smart aleck.
Yeah.
You don't know who you are if you're a smart aleck. Amen.
Amen.
Boys, don't be a punk.
Amen.
Cain's being a punk. Am I my brother's keeper? Man, he's lucky God didn't just, I mean,
Right.
Boom! First atomic bomb, Genesis chapter 4.
Right.
By him all things consist. Loose, boom, you know. Cain's being a punk.
Yeah.
You ain't going to have a relationship with God being a punk.
Right.
Verse 10, he said, "Why hast thou, what hast thou done?" God says, and he, The voice of thy brother Abel crieth for me from the ground. Again, as with Adam and Eve, God is not asking for, because he doesn't, he's not saying, hey, Cain, where's your brother? I don't know. I've been looking for Abel and I can't find him. He's not. He's trying to get Cain to confess what he's done. Amen? He's trying to get Cain. How great is our God? How merciful is our God? He just killed his brother. And God comes to him and starts searching him with some reproofs and some questions, trying to get Cain to look at it and admit that he's the culprit.
Yes.
But Cain never repents. Never repents. I don't understand these guys nowadays. But Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. And that, what that means is change. It's more than this, but it carries a heavy idea of changing your mind. So some of you here this morning, if you're trusting in religion, you're trusting in works, you're trusting in all these things, you better change your mind. You better repent. And say, you know what? I don't think what I have this morning is based on the blood. I think I'm trying and not trusting. I think I've been reasoning this thing out and not really find out what Revelation says.
Yes, yes.
Maybe I need to change my mind.
Yes, right.
Maybe I need to repent.
Yes.
And start listening to what God has to say on the matter and not my neighbor or some guy on television or whatever. But I better get in the Bible or get where the Bible's preached and start reading and asking some questions, because we're talking about eternity here.
Right.
This is no game. Cain, he thinks he can skip that repentance part and still have a relationship with God. Oh, sir. Oh, ma'am. Not at all. Cain never repents. Now, well, this is interesting. You say, what about 11 through 15? Well, he's sorry for his sentence. God says, you know what? You're going to go out. I'm going to mark you. And you're going to go out. He's sorry. He's sorry for his sentence, but he's not sorry for slaying his brother. He's not sorry for his sin. Are you sorry for your sin? Are you sorry for your sin? In sin did my mother conceive me. And I've been doing it ever since. I don't know anybody that's saved that's not sorry for their sin. But you know what? That was my problem. I believed in Jesus Christ for years before I ever got saved. Well, all you have to do is believe. No, I believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I believe He was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I even believed He could save. I just didn't think I was that bad. I was a pretty good old boy in my mind. And then when I got around repentance and people reproving me from the Bible and repentance, I realized, man, this Bible thing is putting some light on my life, and I'm really not who I thought I was. I'm really not that good. There's not one that doeth good, no, not one. Matter of fact, this is looking pretty bad for me.
Yeah.
I thought, man, it's probably a good time to repent. Spirit of God came and visited me. Said, Brad, now's the time. Today's the day. This is the accepted hour. You want to repent and get saved? And I remember crawling out of my bed and, listen, here's how I got saved. I called upon the name of the Lord. And He saved me. That's it. I had nothing to offer Him except a sinful, wretched man that I am. But here's the thing I love about the Lord. If you'll take Him, He'll take you.
Amen.
He'll do it.
He loves you.
Yes.
And there may be people this morning that go to hell unsaved, but they'll never go unloved.
That's right.
And you'll have to trample right over the blood of Jesus Christ to go to hell. You'll have to stomp. You'll have to walk right over the Son of God. I mean, Judas came to him. Judas. Jesus said, Judas. Well, Judas, he kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. Because he wouldn't repent. Brother, he came in contact with that blood. But was never saved. Because he didn't trust it. You with me? He's sweating as it were great drops of blood in the garden, right? Judas comes, kisses him. He didn't trust it. Cain goes out from the presence of the Lord, it says. Why? Because without repentance, there can be no relationship with God. Without repentance, there can be no relationship with God. Listen, that's where it all starts. And someone who will not repent, sooner or later, they're going to leave the presence of the Lord. I'm talking about false religion. Listen, as followers of the true religion, undefiled before God and man, we are to believe the book, God's way, not our way. We're to believe in that blood, that only sacrifice for our souls. And we are to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and quit leaning to your own understanding. And understand this, that reproof from God is good for us. And that repentance from us should follow if we want to have a relationship with God. As we stand this morning, sinner friend, listen to me this morning. I have the utmost confidence in the Holy Ghost of God. The utmost confidence. And I believe if everyone here, if you don't know if you're saved, if you're doubting your salvation, if you will ask God to show you right now, God, am I saved? I believe without a shadow of a doubt, the Spirit of God will tell you, yes, you are, or no, you're not. And if you're not, friend, I pray, please, come this morning and call upon the name of the Lord. Come this morning. Quit trying to reason this thing out. You will never do it. The Bible says through faith we understand. You put your faith in God and the understanding will come later. But if you're trying to reason this thing out, you're never going to see it. You just got to come and trust Him with all your heart. Can you see yourself as a sinner that needs to be saved? Well, I'm telling you, there's a man named Christ Jesus that came to seek and save that which was lost. If you'll come this morning and just climb all the way, if you'll open that door, thou shalt be saved. Father, I pray that you'd have your will and way this morning. Thank you for the clarity in the Bible, Lord, of false religion. And I pray no one would be standing in it this morning. And the tenets of it would not be found anywhere among us. And we pray it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 19, in your soul stirring humor.
washed away this morning. Come on.
Has to be done. While the piano player continues to play, we're going to give the invitation. We're going to sing another verse. But what you heard this morning was the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But you've got to do something with it this morning. And as I was praying, I got to thinking about how many people are in hell right now as we're giving this invitation. I wonder how many people are in hell right now that sat where you sat this morning. And there's so many thoughts that go through your mind, like, I wonder what they're going to think. Maybe a church member or a church kid, church brat. You've been raised in this thing your whole life. And in your mind you're saying, everybody thinks I'm saved. Who cares? Who cares what they think? So you're willing to sacrifice your pride for an eternity in hell. Play Russian roulette with your soul. Just put one in there. Spin the chamber. I'm willing to take the risk. It doesn't really matter what anybody thinks. Or maybe you say, I'll wait until next Sunday. I'll just do it next time. Tomorrow will never come. Next week will never come. I'm a firm believer, if you can't get saved by the grace of God in this environment, under this type of preaching, with these people here praying, with these songs that we sing, if you won't get saved in this environment, you probably never will. But the devil will tell you, oh, you'll do it later on in life. You got time, don't worry about it. Wonder how many people are in hell that are in the same position that you were in years ago. They were in that position, but now they're in hell. There's a fountain filled with blood. It has not lost its power. That blood will save you today, and it will keep you saved forever. What should it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We're going to sing one more verse this morning. Don't be like Cain. In hell without God. Amen. Come and receive the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that was preached to you this morning. What a great message. What a great truth. What are you going to do with it? Now you have to do something. As we sing the next verse here.
There's inside me.
Come to Him.
not by reason. There's people still trying to reason this out.
That's right.
Yeah. Figure it all out. You know, if you were in court and they had all the evidence against you, and they came in there and they said, look, if you just trust, this will all go away. But if you go in that courtroom, they're going to find you guilty. And they're going to sentence you. Did you hear what he said when he was preaching? Cain didn't like the sentence. He couldn't bear the sentence. I got news for you, sinner friend. You're not going to be able to bear the sentence when the judge of all eternity says, guilty.
Right.
Eternity in hell.
Yeah.
That is going to hit you like a ton of bricks.
Yes, sir.
But I was seeking. I was listening.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it. It won't matter what you did when sentence is passed, because he would not repent. He's going to reason it out. I don't see how a man can preach it any clearer to you today. You walk out that door today, you are going to be kicking yourself when the judge of all eternity says, guilty, eternity in hell. Your mind's going to go back to the day.
Yeah,
and you're going to say, I was real close, but I just got to reason this out. I got to think about this. No, your thinking days are over. You need to quit thinking about it. You just need to trust the blood of the Lamb of God who's already paid the price for you. And if you'll trust Him, case dismissed.
Yeah.
Heaven bound. On your way to glory. Peace in your heart. Joy in your soul.
Amen.
Victory in your life. And heaven to enjoy forever. Did you walk out that door? Guilty is charged. Eternity in hell. You say, that's so severe. Yeah, but avoiding it is so simple.
Yeah.
Who cares how severe it is? When the way has been made for you to avoid it, no big deal. But it's your choice. Brother Chris Cox, would you dismiss us in prayer? Amen. We'll be back at 6 o'clock tonight. Good preaching, Brother Brad. We appreciate it.